It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get. And you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM, FM, shortwave, talk radio. The truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. It is a Monday, folks, 10th of November, 2008. These are surely days, if we leave it to the history writers, that will not go down in infamy, but unfortunately for those that have eyes to see and the proverbial ears to hear, some might say that we might even be in the last days. Well, we're certainly in the last days of anything that has any semblance. Not of super capitalism, folks, but of free market, self-determination. You know, doing the work that you do and getting justly compensated for it without being robbed. Oh, and by the way, I wished I had a business that I could make all the mistakes in the world, a private corporation, and then go hang that on somebody else's head. Wasn't my fault. The news is not good today, folks. We're going to get into varied subjects with my guest today coming up in a few minutes, Peter Schiff. And if you do not know who Peter Schiff is, well, Schiff, rather, you'd better find out real quick because he is from the Euro-Pacific Capital Group. He knows a lot about what's going on. And none of this is any good. You know, I remember about a year ago, Mr. Schiff was on, I think it was MSNBC, if I'm not mistaken, and with Mr. Laffer of the Laffer Curve. Remember this guy? And Laffer was laughing it up, calling Peter Schiff nuts. Oh, well, you know, you're painting a picture of doom and gloom. You're just absolutely out of your mind. Well, I would put Mr. Schiff's predictions of a year ago and what he's been writing about lately up against anybody's information. As I said, it's not looking real good. Even Bloomberg, you know, the rah-rah boys for the Wall Street firms, even they're fit to be tied. Evidently, Bloomberg has requested details of the Fed lending of the U.S. Freedom of Information Act and filed a federal lawsuit on November 7th seeking to force disclosure. Well, we're only talking a couple of trillion dollars, about $2 trillion plus, that they're just loaning out to their banker buddies. And this whole thing about gridlock and we've got to loosen up credit. No, they're just dumping their bad debt off of their books and putting the bill on your necks. Now, there's many different facets of how this come about and the pressures that we're facing right now. But suffice it to say, I don't think we're going to have a very Merry Christmas in the year 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 12, 13. Who knows how far this is going to go out. But I do see the bankers working overtime to try to come up with the solutions, the ones that they help start. And it's the old Hegelian dialectic, folks. Yeah, we created a problem. We're demonstrating to you how bad it really is. And here's some of our solutions. Brown, Sarkozy, well, they're all asking kind of like for a global cooperation with the bankers, the international bankster gangsters, at the helm. Pretty scary stuff. We'll be back with Peter Schiff right after this.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We are back, ladies and gentlemen, and with us today, very glad to have this gentleman, Euro-Pacific Capital, the website europac.net, Peter Schiff. Good afternoon, Mr. Schiff.
Good afternoon.
Had you on several months ago, I think we were talking about financial crises in the making. And what I am seeing, Peter, here is just absolute, utter, total economic destruction, not only here in this country, but worldwide. A lot of bad news came out today. The market's not really reflecting it. They were down somewhat. Dow, NASDAQ were down a few points. But we didn't have any great market drops. What is propping up the stock market, Peter? What is keeping the bottom from totally falling out of this thing?
Ignorance, fear. I mean, you have a lot of people around the world who are buying our debt or buying the dollar right now, and that's supporting our economy and our markets to a great extent. Despite the fact that things are deteriorating, they would be deteriorating much more rapidly were it not for the actions of the rest of the world to continue to support us, which, of course, is the source of their problems. You know, we have borrowed trillions of dollars from the world, which we cannot repay, and now we are borrowing even more.
Well, and we just saw a move by China to infuse some money into their banking system. I think it was, half a trillion dollars?
Yeah, well, they're talking about near a $600 billion stimulus package, which is huge, even by looking at the size of the Chinese economy, but it would be even huge for the U.S. economy. But no one is talking about, you know, how China would be able to finance this. And the only logical method would be for them to tap into their nearly $2 trillion of foreign reserves, the lion's share being U.S., you know, government and agency debt. If the Chinese chose to stimulate their economy by selling off a lot of these U.S. treasuries and then spending the money, you know, in China on infrastructure or, you know, anything else for that matter, that would be a gigantic plus for the Chinese economy and would, in fact, act as a stimulus. But, of course, if they do that, that means that not only are they not going to be buying any of the new treasury debt that we're selling, but they're going to be selling some of the debt they already own, which spells a lot of trouble for our economy because we lose, you know, our biggest lender. In fact, they become a competitor in unloading their U.S. dollar debt.
I've often wondered this, and I wanted to get your take on this. Now, we understand that the Chinese has bought a lot of our treasuries, and we know this. The exact amount, one can only speculate, I've heard as much as $2 trillion.
Well, $2 trillion is their total foreign reserves. It's not all U.S. dollar debt. I mean, they do own some debt in euros and Japanese yen, but certainly better than half of it, or over $1 trillion, is in our debt.
And I've always speculated about this, and I want you to see, I'm going to bounce this off of you. Of course, we have this this trade going on with China, and we don't want to really anger the Chinese because they're holding so much of our paper over there. Is this one of the sticking points with not having a fairer trade deal with China is because they're holding that proverbial noose over our necks?
Well, they are. But eventually, you know, they're going to, you know, pull it or what, you know, because they're loaning us a lot of money and we're consuming it. You know, we're taking the money and spending it. And then when we blow through it, we go back and ask for some more. And this is a never ending process where the Chinese, you know, pretend to loan us money and we pretend that we can actually pay it back. But the reality is they're giving us money. And the more money they give us today, the more money they're kind of forced to give us in the future. I think that sooner rather than later, the Chinese are going to come to their senses, as will the rest of the world for that matter, and they will no longer support the American economy. And our economy is phony. Our economy is based on consuming goods that we didn't produce and spending money that we didn't earn. And it's phony. It only can exist so long as the rest of the world is willing to sacrifice and subsidize what we're doing. And right now, the world is feeling the pain from that. You know, the global financial crisis is about America. It's about America not being able to pay back the money it loaned. And a lot of countries are suffering because their banks hold a lot of our paper. And the credit crunch is a result of bad debt in the U.S. Well, and so the world needs to move away from this dichotomy of supporting American consumption.
Well, and there is the impending news. I don't know exactly what's going to come out of the big meetings here, but there is a lot of talk about getting off of the and having a Bretton Woods 2 agreement and totally getting off of the United States dollar. If that happens, what does that mean for America?
Well, it's going to happen. I mean, the sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned, because the longer we wait for it, the worse it's going to be for us. I'd rather, you know, have it happen sooner. But what it's going to mean, it's going to mean an end to this phony economy, right? Without the dollar as the world's reserve currency, we could not run these huge perpetual trade deficits. We could not, you know, have an economy where nobody saves. We couldn't, you know, tap into the savings in China, their savings in Japan and other countries. So America would have to change, right? We would have to go back to the way it used to be in this country and the way it is in most other countries, is that Americans, we would only be able to produce if we could, I mean, consume if we could produce. We wouldn't have to produce everything that we consumed ourselves, but we would have to produce something that we can exchange for other products. But we can only consume to the extent that we could produce. And we can only borrow to the extent that we could save, which would mean that Americans would have to stop borrowing. We couldn't borrow money to buy cars or to send our kids to college or to buy appliances because there's no savings here to finance it. And interest, so the result of that would be much, much higher interest rates, which, of course, would, you know, that would mean fewer people borrowing and more of us would be saving to try to earn those high interest rates. And there'd be a lot less consuming going on and a lot more working. And a lot of people would have to lose their jobs in non-productive service sector and would have to be transitioned into goods-producing jobs.
Well, there,
and unfortunately, yeah. Most people would see a rather substantial reduction in their pay in the process.
Well, and, you know, I've asked people, when was the last time your boss came up to you and said, hey, you're doing a really fine job, our profits are down, but we understand that it's getting harder for you to heat your home and buy gasoline to get to work and to put food on your table, I'm going to give you a raise.
No, in fact, you know, it's funny. I even mentioned this in my book, you know, the new book I have, the little book of bull moves and bear markets. One of the things that the government is trying to convince us is that inflation is not as bad now as it was in the 1970s, because back then wages were rising, and now wages are not rising, just the prices. And I said, well, geez, that's a small consolation that my cost of food is going up and my cost of energy is going up, but I'm not getting a raise.
But Mr.
We're supposed to draw comfort from that.
Well, Mr. Obama said that everybody's got to tighten their belts. What he didn't say is how many belt holes he wanted us to tighten. Speaking of...
Well, but he's not talking about anybody tightening his belt. I mean, he's talking about more government spending. He's talking about more money for the unemployed or more money for homeowners or more government. He's not telling people to stop spending money. He's trying to find ways to keep the spending going.
Well, the speaking of Mr. And I may get arrested for this, Barack Hussein Obama, his economic advisory board, or the Transition Economic Advisory Board, I was actually watching this weekend, and I was watching Tom Brokaw, and there was a woman that was on this, Valerie Jarrett. She appeared on the Meet the Press show, and she was talking about the transition team and all of this other, and she made a statement where I about fell off of my chair when I heard this. She was talking to Brokaw, and she said that someone needs to, she said about Barack Obama, she actually said, given the daunting challenges that we face, I still can't believe this if I hadn't seen it and I haven't heard it. She said, the daunting challenges that we face, it's important that the president-elect, Obama, is prepared to really take power and begin to rule day one. Mr. Schiff, what's wrong with that statement?
I mean, taking power and ruling, like we're coronating a king or something?
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's the president. You know, he's a leader. He's not supposed to take power. But I don't know that that's what she meant. But, you know, what I think is interesting, though, and I think is disturbing, is that, you know, when Reagan came in initially, you know, the idea Reagan – you know, articulated the fact that the government was the problem and that the solution to our problems was limiting government and shrinking the power of government. So Reagan was elected to dismantle government, to shrink government, to cut taxes and cut spending. And so that was the right idea. Now, the fact is he wasn't very successful with most of what he campaigned on. Most of his agenda never got enacted, at least the way he campaigned on it. But he came to power to minimize government so that we could solve our own problems without being encumbered by government. Obama is coming with the exact opposite diagnosis and the exact opposite prescription. He's coming there to try to solve the problems of capitalism with more government. He says that, you know, we need more regulation, we need more government spending. And unfortunately, I think that Obama is going to be more successful in getting his agenda through Congress than Reagan was at getting his agenda through, and we are in serious, serious trouble.
Well, and one of the articles on your site, the Reagan Counter-Revolution, speaks to that.
That's this whole idea.
Yeah, and what we're talking about here, and it was decried as just being ludicrous, that we have trickle-down economics. But what he was basically saying was sound market principle. Let the market go where it will, and let it operate in a free fall or not a government-supported or mandated fashion. Forget the price fixing and the controls and everything else. Let the free market decide what the market is going to do. And he was scoffed at and laughed at. I don't remember exactly how many jokes, but they were innumerable about his idea of free market. We got to take this break. My guest today, Peter Schiff, the website, europac.net of the Euro-Pacific Capital. We'll be right back.
Heart-related health problems affect...
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Take a stand for health. Life Change Tea. We ship worldwide. France, Germany, London, Australia, Finland, and more. Join the thousands that are making the step for a healthy body. Flush out toxins. Lower blood sugar levels. Annihilate acid reflux. Lose weight. You can do it. It's time for change. It's time for health. Grab life. Turn from death. The chemicals in the air will only get worse. Clean your body now with Life Change Tea. Order online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us. Friendly operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. You've heard it. 928-308-0408. Getthetea.com. It works.
Well, there is a Transition Economic Advisory Board, Mr. Barama. Mr. Barack Obama. I almost said barometer. David Bonnier, Warren Buffett, William Daley, the bigger names here, Robert Reich, Lawrence Summers, and Paul Volcker. Now, I can look back, Peter, and I can see who the grand players are here. I am just absolutely amazed that Summers is popping up in this deal. And Larry Summers, and I don't know if a lot of people are aware of this, there were lengthy negotiations behind closed doors. Larry Summers played a central role, the regulatory restraints of Wall Street's powerful banking conglomerates. He revoked them with a stroke of a pen. Now, when we talk about market regulations, folks, you know, oh, regulations are bad. No, not necessarily. Now, Summers worked closely with Phil Graham, and he was the chairman of the Senate Banking Committee, who was the legislative architect of the Graham-Leach, and I think this is Bliley, Financial Services Modernization Act, that was signed into law under Clinton's watch November 12th of 1999. And in December of 2000, at the very end of the Clinton mandate, the Graham introduced a second piece of legislation, the so-called Graham-Lugar Commodity Futures Monetization Act, which paved the way for the speculative onslaught in primary commodities, including oil and food staples. Now, Peter, everybody hears, nobody wants to hear regulation when we're talking about free market. But what is it that they allowed brokerage firms, hedge funds, bankers, investors, pension funds, they allowed this to just freely invest and integrate with other financial operations. Was this a good deal?
Excuse me, I missed part of that.
Yeah, I'm basically saying here that they took the FSMA, the new rules, and I'm talking about the repeal and signing into law. It was actually Public Law 106-102. And what they basically did was took all the restraints off of commercial banks, brokerage firms, hedge funds, investors, pension funds, insurance companies, so they could freely invest in each other's business as well as fully integrate into other financial operations. Was this a good thing?
Well, I mean, in general, I would say that, you know, the less regulation, the better. But the problem was that, you know, once you get people drunk, which is what the government did, you know, then basically, you know, the market would have normally regulated. But once the government, you know, infected everybody with all the cheap money, they probably should have, you know, had some regulation with respect to what we did with that cheap money. But I think the problem was that the Fed supplied all the liquidity in the first place. I think that if interest rates had been held at a normal level by the Fed, which would have been much, much higher than the rates that we had, I think the market would have regulated itself and there would have been no need for government regulation. But once the Fed injected all this cheap money and threw it at Wall Street, you know, that was the source of the problem. And I think most of the places where regulations should have been greater were in government enterprises themselves. Like, there's no question that Fannie and Freddie should have been much more highly regulated. But, in fact, they were not. But the reason that Fannie and Freddie needed regulation was because the government was guaranteeing their debt. It was that implied guarantee that was the source of their ability to insure, you know, trillions of mortgages. And so if there was no government guarantee, there would have been no need to regulate Fannie and Freddie because they would have been regulated by the market. But since the market perceived no risk in anything Fannie and Freddie did, they were able to guarantee all sorts of mortgages. And that was one of the reasons that so many Americans were able to get in so much over their heads, because the lenders really didn't care if the borrowers could pay back the money they borrowed, because they knew the government would step up if they couldn't do it. And so the one place they should have regulated, they weren't there. Although I would have preferred that Fannie and Freddie never existed in the first place, that would have been better. But as long as they created those monsters, they should have done a better job of regulating them. And, of course, they didn't. And why didn't they? It was all political. You know, Fannie and Freddie were huge donors to politicians, and any effort by anybody to try to curtail what they were doing was dismissed very, very, very quickly. And, you know, of course, a lot of the other problems that were in the housing market in particular were written into our tax code, you know, where the U.S. government basically subsidized people for buying homes by letting them write off the interest on their mortgage on their taxes. Yet if you decide to rent, you don't get to write off your rents. So that was a subsidy that encouraged people to buy houses when buying a house wasn't really the most economical thing to do. It was only the tax subsidy that made it more economical. And so that impacted people's decision making. But of course, you know, during the recession, as people lose their jobs, you know, the tax deductibility of your mortgage means nothing, because if you have no income, you have no need for the deduction.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, the government even built into the tax code a subsidy for real estate speculating by enabling people to buy and sell properties without having to pay taxes on the first $500,000 of capital gains, provided they waited 2 years between flips. And, you know, so real estate was the only asset class in the United States that you can buy and sell for a profit and not be taxed. So all the real speculative money was funneled by the government into the real estate market.
And, of course, I can't go any further without mentioning Rahm Emanuel. And even ABC turned this up that Mr. Emanuel, he served on the board of directors of the Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. when all this stuff was starting to go on in 2000, 2002. I want to get your take on that when we get back. My guest today, Peter Schiff, Euro-Pacific Capital.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
One of Rahm Emanuel's spokespeople said as White House Chief of Staff, he will work with President-elect Obama and his economic advisors to help ensure we protect taxpayers and homeowners. But again, going back to the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, it misreported profits by billions of dollars in order to deceive investors between 2000 and 2002. Now, the very same Rahm Emanuel was on that board for some 13 months. And they're saying that was a relatively short amount of time and that he wasn't named on this SEC investigation, even though that he heard the complaints from Congress on what the heck is going on with this over here. Any meat to that? Is this going to jump up and bite Emanuel?
Well, look, I'm sure it's not going to be that big a deal. I mean, look at Henry Paulson. I mean, he ran Goldman Sachs during most of the time where Goldman was entering into all of the agreements and purchases and deals that have led to the current collapse of the share price of Goldman Sachs, which is still, relative to some of the other firms, Goldman stock has held up pretty well. It made a new 52-week low today. I mean, the stock was up in the 200s, and now the stock is at 70. But I'm sure if Goldman did not get government money the way it did, and if these bailouts weren't going, Goldman would be going bankrupt right now, just like Lehman did. But look, I mean, all the guys who are on the boards of directors of these companies, like particularly like a company like Fannie and Freddie, they should all be sued by the shareholders. I mean, these guys did not do their jobs. They allowed the people running these companies to take tremendous risks for their shareholders, yet not have to bear those risks personally because they were rewarded. I mean, all the bonuses that were being paid to the executives of these companies were huge, and they were based on the phony profits generated by excessive risk-taking that ultimately led to the collapse of these companies and horrific losses for the shareholders. And where were the boards? Why weren't they acting responsibly? Where was their fiduciary responsibility to make sure that management didn't gut these companies for their personal gain? And that's what they did. That's what they did on Wall Street. All these firms did that. And, you know, I also think it's interesting that, you know, all the people who are being, you know, put in power to solve these problems are the people that helped create these problems and the people that still don't understand the nature of the problems. Most of these people are the very people who were talking about how great the economy was just a few years ago. Well, the reality was the economy wasn't great. The economy was a disaster waiting to happen. But when I pointed this out, people laughed at me, they dismissed me, and now these are the people who are being sought out for solutions to problems that they don't understand.
Well, wasn't Volcker the head of the Federal Reserve during the 87 crash? What role?
No, he wasn't. That was Greenspan.
Greenspan, okay.
Volcker was there in the first couple of years of the Reagan administration. But, you know, Volcker was there when we had a very substantial recession early in Reagan's first term. And part of that was the result of Volcker's willingness to administer the tough medicine that the economy needed. Now, nobody is talking about administering that type of tough medicine now. And the problem is, you know, the situation is so bad that everyone's afraid that that tough medicine will actually kill us. Because, you know, in order to really do the right thing would require aggressive increases in interest rates. I mean, is anybody talking about that?
And
this recession is really bad with interest rates low. Imagine how much worse it would be if they were at 10 or 20%.
Well, and you know, I was just going to say, Peter, you know, what does it matter? Because they're not loaning any money. They're not putting any money into circulation. I see a corollary here, and for some added reasons, 1929 versus 2008. What did we have going on back in 1929? We had the Federal Reserve and some lousy little policies that heated things up too much, and they just had to take the funds out of circulation for some 10 years to straighten the problem around. Here we've got...
Well, look, back then, we had a inflationary boom followed by a deflationary bust, and the Federal Reserve created the process. You know, they set the inflationary boom into motion, which sows the seeds for the deflationary bust. The same thing is happening now, except we now have a fiat monetary system. We're no longer on a gold standard, and the government now has the tools at its disposal to prevent the deflationary bust from happening. But then what we end up having is something worse than a deflationary bust, which would be an inflationary bust or an inflationary depression. So we're going to get something worse than the 1930s. And unfortunately, you know, back then we had a viable economy. We had a bubble created by the Fed on a viable economy. We had a lot of malinvestments that needed to be fixed, and ultimately they were fixed, but because of Hoover and Roosevelt, it took the economy a long time to fix them. But now what's going to happen is beneath the surface, our economy is a disaster. Our entire economy is one gigantic bubble. And so I don't think we're ever going to be able to get out from under this mess if, you know, Obama comes in here and tries to, you know, reflate this bubble. If he continues along the Bush policies of bailing people out and propping up companies and stimulating the economy, this is going to be a massive, massive disaster.
He's
potentially
already...
even hyperinflation, you know, a la, you know, in Argentina, Weimar Republic, Germany, or, you know, what they're experiencing now in Zimbabwe.
Barack Obama is already tearing pages out of the New Deal book. He's already talking about reinvestment back into the communities, into the states for infrastructure, road building, bridges. I mean, it sounds to me like more government work programs.
Yeah, look, and the New Deal was a bad deal when it was announced. I mean, not only was the whole thing unconstitutional, and of course, in order to get the New Deal programs through the courts, Roosevelt had to pack the courts with his cronies. Now, there's no need to do that now because the Supreme Court, you know, no one cares about the Constitution anymore. The government does whatever the hell it wants. So, you know, Obama is not going to have to worry about his plans being struck down by the court. I mean, government can do whatever it wants, and the courts would, you know, would bless it. But the problem is that our government is huge right now. I mean, when Roosevelt took power, the federal budget was only about $4 billion. That was the whole federal budget. So Roosevelt doubled the size of government from $4 billion to $8 billion. I mean, 80.4, you know, which is still tiny. But if you adjust it for inflation, I mean, our government is 10 times as big now than it was after the New Deal. So there's no way that Barack Obama can come in and double the government. I mean, we're already broke from the old deal. I mean, we can't afford another one.
I can remember in 1963, then President John F. Kennedy took a look at the size of the budget deficit, and he said, you know what? I'm going to call the Treasury, have them print up some United States notes and loan those into circulation at zero interest. Basically, what he did was a parallel currency. And, you know, it's been my contention, Peter, I'm going to walk out on that tinfoil hat-wearing limb to suggest that he pissed off a lot of bankers when he did that. And I think we know what happened to Kennedy on November 22nd, 1963.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to, you know, I don't know that there's a lot of different reasons that you can think of for the Kennedy assassination. was it the bankers? I mean... I don't know.
Well, he wanted to pull the advisors out of Vietnam.
A lot of people say the reason that we invaded Iraq was because the Saddam Hussein wanted to price oil in euros.
Just as
you can always try to think of reasons and whether they're true or not. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I do know that we're in some serious, serious trouble right now as a nation.
Yeah.
And we're not going to solve these problems by encouraging the very behavior that is the source of the problems in the first place, which is our borrow and consume economy. You know, but the government is not going to solve them by vilifying the wrong people, by vilifying the free market, and by putting the blame on, you know, the people on Wall Street and the mortgage industry.
Well, look,
Peter, which is basically, you know, I'm not saying they're a bunch of Boy Scouts, but they were playing the distorted hand dealt them by the government.
Well, and we're going to get the same people that were in on the problem in the first place. I mean, did your phone ring off the hook? Did Barack Obama call you as an economic advisor?
No, nobody has called me. You know, no one has thought to call the person that actually forecast all this, that wrote a book on the subject, that was on television pointing out every single thing that has happened. I mean, some of the things that I said about the housing market, these guys act like this stuff came out of left field, that nobody could have possibly predicted it. I mean, I predicted the bankruptcy of Freddie and Fannie in no uncertain terms. I predicted the bankruptcy of General Motors a few years ago in print and on television, and yet here it's happening.
Yeah.
You would think that they would want to talk to me. Now, I do know another guy who did make some of these forecasts, this guy Miro Rubini, who has been, you know, invited to speak before Congress. But I think it's interesting. See, Rubini also made a lot of the same forecasts, not as early as I did and not as accurate as I did, I don't think. But the one difference that I have between me and Rubini is Rubini is in favor of all the government bailouts. He loves them. He wants more. He thinks this is the right thing to do. He thinks we need more stimulus. We need more bailouts. And so I think government is listening to him because he wants more government. They don't want to listen to me because my advice is less government. I said, look, you guys created this problem. That's how come I was able to see it with such clarity, because I knew what the result of your policies was going to be. And I can tell you what we need to do now to make the situation better, although it won't make it better immediately. It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. But unfortunately, that's how it has to be.
Let's take a call here. Wayne in Dallas. Hello, Wayne. Wayne, go ahead.
Hi, John. Good show. Peter, I wanted to call because I just wanted to say I've always enjoyed seeing you on Glenn Beck's show. And I was just kind of curious, were some of those other analysts that you would debate against as stupid as they seem to be on TV? Because
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they're any stupider on TV than they are in person. I mean, and some of them, and most of them aren't stupid. I mean, a lot of times they're very intelligent people. They're just very confused. You know.
Well, it seemed to be the case. I just didn't know if they were just there to be take the opposite tack from what you were talking about, because you seem to make a heck of a lot more sense than they did. But
they're living inside a bubble.
Oh yeah.
You know, and it's hard to to see reality when you're in there.
No doubt.
And so when somebody comes up and says something, I was watching this clip of myself. I mean, the other day I was on CNBC and we're talking about the Chrysler bailout. I mean, the General Motors bailout, and I was talking about some stuff, and I was looking at this guy's expression on his face when, he was talking about how we need, buying more cars. And I said, look, America's, our car buying days are over for a while. I mean, we're not going to be buying cars. I mean, we're broke. We need to start producing cars. And I started talking about this stuff, how I could see the expression on his face. I couldn't see it when I was doing the interview live. And it was like in utter bewilderment, like I was saying stuff that was so crazy he couldn't even believe what he was hearing. And I was trying to explain to him that, we have to produce cars, not consume them.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of CNBC, one of the reasons I wanted to call was I saw a quote by a guy named, I think it was Martin Hennecke, from a firm called Teich. I'm not sure, where he stands on the scale up there, but he had a quote that said the U.S. might have to look at a default on the bankruptcy reorganization of the present financial system, and bankruptcy of the government is not out of the realm of possibility. And I thought that was kind of significant that you're seeing some people come out, talk like this, and that a mainstream media would report it, as openly as they did. It seems to me like
for all practical purposes, the U.S. government is bankrupt. Sure. We're already bankrupt. The question is, will the government acknowledge it officially and responsibly go bankrupt? And, default on its debts, the honest way, just not paying. I mean, my feeling is that that's not the way it's going to pan out. We can always pretend that we're not bankrupt because we can print money. Right? The U.S. government borrows money. We owe trillions of dollars. But the Federal Reserve can print up trillion-dollar bills. I mean, there's nobody that stops it. So our ability to repay our money, is not limited when we can print that money.
But no doubt,
as far as our creditors are concerned, printing money and paying people back with worthless or near worthless money is the equivalent of defaulting. And many cases, it's worse than defaulting.
Yeah. Well, my point is, too, at some point, won't that cause some sort of major devaluation of the dollar?
Yes. I mean that's what's coming. I mean, that's the one piece of the puzzle that's not working out at the moment the way I forecast it would in my book and the way I have for my investment clients. The dollar's decline has kind of come to a temporary end, and the dollar has derived a lot of strength from the current financial crisis. But I think this strength is going to be short-lived, and ultimately, when the dollar resumes its decline, it will collapse. And that's obviously going to make the problems much, much, much more apparent in the United States, because as the dollar really starts to sink, then we're going to start to see commodity prices rising again, consumer prices. And so, we're still going to have all these economic problems, but instead of, oil being back down at, $60 a barrel, it'll back up over 100. And so now, it won't be, at least we've got a consolation that we're getting cheaper oil. That won't be there.
Exactly. And do you think that perhaps the dollar is being manipulated by people like the Chinese so that they could possibly get to where they could cash out of some of the dollar-denominated investments?
Well, we know that the Chinese and other central banks are manipulating the dollar up. They're intervening on a daily basis to support the value of the dollar. But if they're doing it just because they want to cash out, that's a mistake because they can't cash out. The fact of the matter is the minute they stop buying dollars, the dollar will collapse. If they actually tried to sell, then it would be a complete rout.
Oh,
if they're trying to maintain a phony market to ultimately sell into it, I mean, I think that's foolish. They should just cut their losses.
Sure.
Now, as I said, they talk about the $600 billion stimulus plan. The best thing for the Chinese to do right now, while the dollar is got some strength, is to liquidate that $600 billion and use it to fund their stimulus.
That's what I was thinking, man. Do you think the Chinese might have, in some of the debt they bought from the U.S., some clauses to perhaps trade that debt for equity, whether it be freeways, rivers?
No, because they've got the same debt. I mean, they have treasuries and they've got, agency debt, and, they don't have the ability to do anything. In fact, a couple of times when the Chinese or other people, you know, when they try to buy things, like was what I think that was Dubai that tried to buy those ports. But the U.S. government said, no, we won't let you spend your money on that asset. So, you know, we start limiting them. You know, we've got no problem if they just want to keep rolling over treasuries. But when they start wanting to buy something real, that's when all of a sudden we come up and say, oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, you can't, you know.
Sure. But
and ultimately, you know, that's what's going to happen. The world is going to have to realize that, you know, that this is a bad deal for them. Because all they can do is loan us money that they can never spend. And when we pay them interest, they have nothing to do but loan it back to us.
I see. Well, do you think they have a lot more leverage than Dubai? And I think that if push comes to shove,
I think they have a lot of leverage if they want to use it. You know, we think it's some kind of mutually assured destruction. You know, it's like, okay, you bankrupt our nation and we won't buy your products. And we think that somehow that's the equivalent. I mean, I think China holds all the cards in its relationship with the United States because the Chinese economy would function very well without American consumers. It's just that the American consumer can't function at all without the Chinese producer.
Mm-hmm. I see. And one last question. If that dollar does get devalued, Peter, how where do you think gold ends up? Do you think it doubles, triples, or what?
Yeah, well, I mean, actually, it has no value. So what happens is it depreciates. I mean, it doesn't have any intrinsic value, so there's no way to officially devalue it like we've done in the past when we were on a gold standard. But the market will depreciate. The dollar will depreciate, and I think it will depreciate dramatically. And I don't know how high gold prices are going to go in terms of dollars, but I think gold will be several thousand dollars an ounce.
Peter, hang on 1 second. We're hard up against the break. Pete, hold on 1 second.
In Matthew 20.
The stock market is crazy. The chemtrails are spraying us with their chemicals. It's time to think about what is important. Most forget just how important life is. Life Change Tea removes toxins, chemicals, parasites, and bacteria that store up in your body. It cleanses you and gives you results in hours. And one of the wonderful side effects from this product is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. And on top of that, there's a 45-day money-back guarantee. So why wait? Call now. Operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. I'll say it again. 928-308-0408. Or order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, stock market may crash, but you don't have to go with it.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
Mr. Schiff, I see another problem coming up in December, and it has to do with the COMEX. They have something like, what is it, 100 million ounces that are leased out, and they only have about 8 or 9 million on hand. What happens if people step up to the window and say, I want my gold now?
Yeah, well, obviously, you know, there can be problems if people want physical delivery, which very well might happen as people start to become more worried about the counterparty risks out there. If, you know, people might want to take possession of their precious metals. And, of course, you know, if that happens, then, you know, they need to, you know, they need to try to procure those ounces. And if they can't do it, I mean, obviously it's a default, and that's, you know, of course a counterparty risk. And if, you know, if something happens where if the price of gold or silver were to rise spectacularly, specifically because of, you know, that happening, it's also quite possible that the people who have promised to deliver that gold and now can't get it, right, and they can't afford it because the price is so high, that they end up just not paying the COMEX. And, you know, then the COMEX, of course, goes bankrupt because they know they can't honor the contract. And so it might end up that a lot of people who actually own futures contracts, you know, even though the price of gold and silver could go up and they're long those contracts, they might not get anything.
Well, they might,
because the exchange goes bankrupt.
They might get paid back in dollars or bottle caps.
But they might not even get paid back in dollars. They might get they might not get paid back anything, or, you know, they might get paid back something, but they might not get paid. Let's assume I buy $1 million worth of gold contracts, and now those $1 million is worth $100 million because of the price of gold. Well, you know, if the exchange goes bankrupt, how many dollars am I only going to get out of the bankruptcy proceeding? I mean, you know, am I even going to get the million I started with?
Well, don't worry. The government will guarantee, just like they do through the FDIC.
I don't think the government guarantees. The COMEX isn't guaranteed by the government. I mean, of course, they could step out and bail them out like they're doing with everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Steve in Ohio, you're on with Peter Schiff. Hello, Steven.
Good afternoon, John, and hello, Peter. And first of all, I'd like to say, Peter, that I'm praying for your father and hope they release him from prison soon. It's ridiculous what they've been doing to him. And secondly, I've enjoyed your commentary on many of the financial and news channels. The problem is it doesn't seem to be sinking in. These people don't understand. I understand, and I'm listening, and I'm learning, but these people just seem to be going on their merry way and not really absorbing the information that you're giving them. It's like they're on another planet.
Now, yeah, I mean, I don't know what it's going to take for these people to understand that I'm not just comic relief, you know?
Yeah.
That what I'm saying is true, and that, you know, the host of other people that parade on these television networks or, you know, that are in government, well, that these are the guys that don't know what they're talking about. And that, you know, whatever the gloomy tale that I'm telling, that's the reality. And it's interesting, though, too, because when I was the only one out there and they, you know, they nicknamed me Dr. Doom and I was talking about all these problems and everybody else was, you know, this is ridiculous, everything is great. It's these people who are now saying that the problems are so terrible that we have to have these government bailouts. And I'm one of the few people that's out there that's saying, no, they're not that terrible. I mean, they're bad, but these bailouts are going to make them worse.
Peter,
people are saying, oh, if the government doesn't bail out General Motors, we're not going to have a car industry. When I was on the show Friday, I said, that's nonsense. I said, we will have a car industry. We'll have a better car industry if we let these firms go bankrupt.
Peter, it's 6 o'clock Eastern. Can you hang around a little bit longer with us?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Steve, hang on. If you've got any follow-up, 800, take advantage of this, folks, because here's a guy that likes to tell the truth. He wears his badge of honor and courage on his lapel, and he backs it up with his knowledge. Do the people want to listen? Well, when they find themselves jobless and homeless, it's probably going to be too late for them. For the rest of us that want to survive, I have a tendency to listen to people that know what they're talking about. Hour two coming up with Peter.
Hello,